Hi, welcome to another episode of Epic Gnosis. I trust that you've been blessed by the previous episodes, and I also believe that you're blessed by this one. What I'm about to share is quite important, and it's a question in many people's hearts. This is a question that I have also had in my own heart for a while now, but through the study of God's Word, I was brought to the light of the truth about the subject matter, and I was able to understand what it really means, and that's what I'm going to be sharing with us in this episode. And it's talking about how to see God work in the dark. You know, sometimes we're in the tunnel, we're in a phase where we don't actually see what God is doing. You know, it's easy to see God working in crusades, in easy to see God work in church. It's easy to see God work, you know, in a miracle place, you know, something is happening. But in the place, in the face of your life, where you don't exactly find an expression of God there, now at that point, it would not be easy for you to see God work. It would not be easy for you to see God work. Now, for instance, God had already spoken to Moses, all right? And he told him about how he was going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, Moses walked by God's word. He went there. And at some point, he found out that what God said is not exactly what happened. Now, the way God said it was like, Moses was going to go there, speak to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh would say, okay, no problem. I'll give you the people and then go ahead. So, of course, if you're reading the story from the beginning, you would expect that would be what would happen, right? But then, that wasn't what happened. I mean, at all, right? That wasn't what happened. So, now, the question is, how do we see God in the dark? Now, paint yourself as Moses at that point. God has spoken to you. You're going to take over this territory. You're going to take over this domain. God is going to give you a hand here. Probably God has spoken to you about your career, your business, your finance, your relationship. And all of a sudden, everything goes dark. All of a sudden, everything goes blank. All of a sudden, what you were having progress on before, you no longer have progress there anymore. All of a sudden, everything you saw yourself in motion with in the first place, all of a sudden, there's a change. All of a sudden, your mind resets. All of a sudden, something just clashes. And you're in a dilemma. You're in a point where you don't even know what to do. And sometimes we ask the question, what is God doing at this point? What is God saying at this point? Well, using the story of Moses, for example, Moses saw that Pharaoh had the issue with not releasing the Egypt. Of course, I know many of us understand that he had an issue with releasing the people of Egypt. The people of Israel, right? Pharaoh is the Pharaoh of Egypt, right? The king of Egypt, but the people of Israel are God's people. So he had an issue releasing them, even though Moses already got the word that he was going to go and release them. So Moses got to Pharaoh, spoke to Pharaoh, like I said, and Pharaoh said, you know, he would not release these people, that they are slaves for the people of Egypt, and was not going to release them. And Moses could have just said, wow, what's God doing? What's this? But then God spoke to him to, you know, throw his staff down. There were signs upon signs upon signs. If you were a normal person, if Pharaoh were a normal person, at least you would have seen the signs and just say, okay, no problem, you guys can go. I'm tired of all these things already. But Pharaoh still kept pushing. Now, over time, after a couple of deliberation signs, and, you know, Pharaoh's son had to die and the rest of things that happened, I don't want to go into that story right now. Now, later on, we found out that Pharaoh actually told them, okay, you may go. People of Egypt may go. So he released them. Now the people of Israel, I'm pretty sorry. Alright, the people of Israel right now have left the place. They've left Pharaoh. And as they were leaving Pharaoh, Pharaoh had a target within them that he was going to chase them. Now, Moses led these people to a point where they could not go again. It was called the Red Sea. Now they were seeing the sea in front of them, and they were walking. As they were walking, they were seeing the sea. As they were walking, they were seeing. Now the sea was standing behind, between them and where they were going to. And then the question was, where is God? Where is God? Everybody in Israel were angry. They were annoyed. They told Moses, hey, can you just let us go back to where we were? Can you just, we prefer to be slaves rather than to be fed to the sharks. We prefer to just work for these Egypt guys instead of being led to this place to do nonsense. And, to, you know, they were so angry because they were in the dark. They were in the dark. You know, the dark is a point where you don't see the light. That's a simple expression. You are in the dark when you don't see the light. Now, what kind of light are we talking about? Now, here's what happened. Now, the people of Israel began to complain. Moses spoke to God, and God told him to stretch forth his staff over the sea, and the sea splitted. The sea splitted at the point where he stretched his staff, the sea splitted. And the people of Israel walked through that ocean. Right? Now, the question is, what helped them out? Now, remember I said, you are in the dark when you don't see the light. Now, what is the light? What is the light? Now, this brings me to John chapter 1. I believe that by the end of this teaching, you would be able to really understand how God works in the dark. And in the dark moment of your life, in the dark point of your life, you'll be able to see God work. Now, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 2, in the beginning was in the same was in the beginning with God. 3, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was ever made. Now this is it. All things were made by God, and without God there is nothing that was made. Okay, now verse 4, it says in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now, verse 5, we just go back. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend. Now, these 5 verses are going to be my point of emphasis throughout this teaching, throughout this episode. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and that Word was God. So, God is at the beginning, is the Alpha and the Omega, and not just that, he has the Word. That talks about the God, the Father, and the Son. And then God is the Word. So the Father and the Son are the same. So the Father and the Son are the Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus and the Father are the same. He is the Father's child, and he has everything the Father has. The Bible says, you know, Jesus will say, all that the Father has, I have. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So that means that whatever Jesus has, there the Father has. Glory to God. Now, they said that in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Still emphasizing what he has said in verse 1, that God is at the beginning. So at the beginning of every point, it is God. God is the beginning. There is no beginning without God. The reason why there is a beginning is because there is a God. God causes beginnings to happen. Praise God. Verse 3 says, all things were made by who? By the same God. And without him, nothing was made. So, like I said, there is no beginning without God. Whatever you are doing of God has no beginning yet. When God comes in, there is a beginning. You see how some people struggle. All of a sudden, they just start something and nothing just works. To show you that at that point, now they are beginning with God. So, whatever you are holding on to, ensure it is something that don't do everything and look out for what God blesses. No. In fact, look out for what God is blessing and do much more of it. Look out for what God is blessing and do much more of it. A lot of people are trying to do everything, trying to get everywhere, trying to... No. Don't let that be you. Focus on what God has told you. Focus on what God has said. Focus on how God is blessing you. Focus on how people are eating from your table. That should be your focus. That should be your mandate. That should be your goal. That should be your drive. It shouldn't be about what others are saying. It shouldn't be about what others are doing. Focus on what God has given unto you. That way you always be in the light. Now, verse 4 says, in him was life. In this Jesus is where life was. And that life is the light of men. Hallelujah. The light is the life of men. So even without the life, we are already in the dark. Without the life, we are already in the dark. The life that God brings into our lives is the light of him. Jesus is here to bring light to our world, to bring light to the darkness. Wherever Jesus goes, there light goes. So if we're in the dark, I've met a lot of people, you know, we minister to teenagers a lot in the Purpose Network, and you know, a lot of times when we meet up with them and they'll explain how they've been in the dark all their lives. They've been doing this, they've been doing that. Some have had to do drugs, some have had to do, fraud, a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing, internet fraud and the rest. And, you know, I've really noticed that the moment Jesus comes into their life, everything changes. It's as though someone turned up the light in their life. They appear a different way. They are just, their radiance is different. The way they talk is different. The way they act is different. The way they move is different. All of a sudden, something just changes about their lives. Praise God. So in the dark point, you may be missing one important ingredient for the light, and that is God, and that is Jesus. Hallelujah. Bible says his life is the light of men. And, it says in verse 5, and his light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. It is not possible for any kind of darkness to understand the light. It's like teaching a very, very tough subject to a primary one child. It's like teaching quantum physics to a child in primary school. He can't understand, he can't comprehend. Hallelujah. He really can't understand. He can never comprehend. He will never comprehend it. Praise God. So that's what he is. Darkness cannot comprehend light. It is far beyond its capability. You can only comprehend what you can understand. You can only comprehend what you can adapt to, or what you can walk in. Darkness can never walk with light. It's not possible. So the light of the world is Jesus. And when Jesus is in our heart, everything changes. Now, we would ask, or here's where I'm going to bring this to a close right now. And I'm going to just let you know that, you know, sometimes what we're asking, that I have Jesus, but somehow, right now where I am, I can't see him. Like, he's not as visible as he ought to be. So where is Jesus? Now, I'm going to go back to verse 1. In the beginning was what? The Word. And that Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this word here may mean several things to many people, but in the Greek, it means logos. Hallelujah. It means what? Logos. It means a written word. It means a written word. Hallelujah. It means a written word. So this word was God. The written word is God. God's every speech is himself. So when God speaks, he releases himself to people. That's what happens. That's why his word can cause a light to transform you in your darkness. So when in the dark, what do you look out for? You look out for God's word. Look out for God's word in the dark. Look out for God's word in the dark, because when you find God's word in the dark, you find light. Praise God. When you find God's word in the dark, you find... Now, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. right? The reason why there's a light in the tunnel is because we've seen a light, and we know that when there's a light at the end of the tunnel, there is a door out of that darkness. There's a door out of that dark, out of the tunnel, because where there's a light, there is freedom. Praise God. Hallelujah. And how be it, the truth sets us free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Who is the truth? The truth is Jesus. Where do we find the truth? In his word. Where do we find his word? His scriptures that we have, or that we hold dearly in our heart. That's why the study of the scriptures must be our everyday life. We must hold on to what God has said in the scriptures. It must be our everyday reality. It must be our everyday reality. What has God said about you? What has he said about that your business? What has he said that the career of yours? What has he said about your relationship? What has he said about your ministry? Because in that point when you receive God's word with your heart and you hold on to it through your life, then you will see light shine. Hallelujah. So in that point of darkness, in that point of defeat, in that point where you feel like everything is down, where all your cards are down, look out for God's word. Look out for God's word. Once you find God's word, everything settles up. God's word, everything settles up. You find God's word, everything settles up. Everything begins to add up. The picture begins to add up once God's word is introduced into the picture. Praise God. Once the word of God is introduced, everything begins to add up. Every single thing begins to add up. You add God's word to the situation, everything just changes. Everything switches. It's as though someone flipped the switch all of a sudden. Praise God. So I just want to encourage you, you know, as I close in this episode, to look out for God's word. To look out for what God has said about your life. To look out for what God has destined you to be. To look out for what God has said about you. The children of Israel were complaining, but Moses never complained. All he did was just hold on to what God has said. So he stretched forth the staff and then everything changed. All you have to do is put God's word to work in your life. You know, let me see James chapter 1, if I can just share a few things from there. I think one thing that I would love to share is how to put God's word to work. And really, it's not hard. It's just about just doing what he has said. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, do what God has said. If you're in a point where you need to make a decision, you need to make a change in your life, you need to do something, do what God has said. God's word never changes. God's word is still the same yesterday, today, still remains the same forever. So while men will change their tones, I've changed my word several times. I've said I was going to do this and I never did it. I've said I was going to change this and I never changed it. I said I was going to go out today, but I still may not go out. Right? So man can change, but God never changes. So hold on to what God has said over everything any man has said. Hold on to what God has said over the darkness, over the room. Hold on to what God has said. Now, what God has said is more important than what anybody says at that point in your life. What God has said is more important than what anybody would tell you at that particular point. Now, James chapter 1, verse 2, says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work in you, that ye may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says that, count it all joy when you go through temptations. Count it all joy when you go through tribulations. Count it all joy when you fall into trials, when you go through things. Count it all joy. Right, but it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So there is patience required when it comes to faith. You may say, God has told me that I'm going to give birth this year. I'm going to carry a baby this year. I'm going to get married this year. And then it all looks as though it's not happening. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, patience has been working in you. God is working out patience in you. And it says, let patience have a perfect work. So it may take a while, but let patience, if God has said it, see, that is the focus of, that should be the focus of every believer. If God has said it, I believe it, I receive it, and that is it. If God has said it, If God, it doesn't matter what I see, doesn't matter what I face, if God has said so, I take my time. I'm in a rest. Glory to God. I'm in a rest. God has spoken about my finances. I don't see the money right now, but I'm in rest. Oh, glory to God. I'm in a rest. I'm not trying to rush. I'm not trying to run. I'm just doing as God has told me to do. I'm in a rest. Praise God. I'm in rest. So are you in rest today? Are you at rest today? Is your body, your spirit, your soul, your mind, is it at rest? Are you confident of what God has said to you? Are you certain that God is indeed has called you to do this? Are you certain that God has put this on your lips for you to do? If that is you, then I want you to hold on to what God has said. Because patience would have a perfect work in you. So you'll be perfect. You'll be complete. You will lack nothing. That is God's desire for you. It says in verse 5 that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth unto men liberally, and he withholdeth not, and shall be given unto him. Hallelujah. If there's any point you need any clarification in your heart, all you need to do is just ask, and it will be given unto you. God's word is there for you to hold you through that darkness, to hold you through that dark point of your life, to hold you through that point where you don't know how things are going. God's word is everything to you. God's word is there for you. God's word is God's decision for you to take. God's word is God's thing for you to move with. Hallelujah. And maybe you've been reading the scriptures and then it's like, I don't even know what this. Someone is talking about Elijah. I'm talking about my own life. Like, they don't correlate. Well, the reason why we have the scriptures is not because we're going to see the scriptures, like someone will say, the Bible has said that praise that day and me would go out and feed 10,000 people. No, it's not going to be there, right? What it's going to do is I'm going to see a pattern of how God has dealt with men. I'm going to see a pattern of how God has led men. They're going to see a pattern of the world. And God never moves out of his patterns. He follows the same pattern. So if God has said something about this person, you hold on to it and you key into it in faith. If Jesus spoke in the scriptures, if Paul said a word in the scriptures, you hold on to it. And then it becomes your deliverance. You hold on to it and it becomes, because that's the pattern. I will never forget Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. I'll never forget that scripture, because that scripture was my deliverance at so many points of my life. Verse 14. That scripture, that particular verse, I would say is the verse that did so many things for me. So what scripture are you holding on to? What scripture are you holding on to? Which one makes sense to you? Go in and see it, and God would work in you. God would do his own work in you. Hallelujah. So I just want to close this teaching by just letting you know that, listen, child of God. God has called you unto righteousness. God hasn't called you to sin. God has called you that you may have dominion from sin. That's what God has called you to be. God has never, ever, ever seen you with the eyes of sin. The way God sees you is the way he sees Jesus. You are the picture of Jesus. You are the picture of Jesus. What Jesus is on the cross for you was to die so that he may live inside of you. So he lives as you. Bible says just as Jesus is in heaven, so we are on earth. So I want you to be reminded that God cares about you. I want you to be reminded that God loves you and God has you in mind. Amen. Romans chapter 6 verse 14, what I wanted to mention. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but you are under grace. Grace is not a license to go sin. Grace is a license for you to live the life of sin. Why? Because it's no more your life. You will run away from sin if sin was your life. Today, we've been forgiven. We don't even need to ask for forgiveness. We've been forgiven. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 explains that we've received forgiveness for our sins. But how be it today, what we have is eternal life. Glory to God. So say with me, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. God has given it unto me. I've been made free from sin. I have dominion over sin. But right now, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have his righteousness. I walk his righteousness. I live in his righteousness. I act in his righteousness every day of my life. I am what God says I am. I will never be what God says I will never be. I am no more a sinner. I forsake the life of sin. The life of sin is over. It has been nailed to the cross. The life which I live now is by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to remind you of the scriptures with this particular scripture, Philippians 2 and verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 12b says, work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works that salvation in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is at work in you. In that dark point of your life, God is at work in you. Be conscious of what God is doing inside of you, because that's where his light is going to be revealed. His light is in you. God is in you. Jesus is in you. He died on the cross so he may live inside of you. And because inside of you today, we have the victory, praise God. We have the dominion, hallelujah. And God will do all things through us, through himself, that strengthens us. Hallelujah, praise God. I'll see you in another episode. Be sure to listen to this probably another time again so you get a full grasp of the word. Amen. Do have a blessed evening, a blessed day, wherever that you are. I love you so much, and God loves you so much more. Praise God. Next time. See you next time.